We were away for a minute, but May I Elaborate is back, baby.
Yeah, we missed you all, but we're back, and we're switching some things up.
Yeah, Miles, we're still doing the wisdom quotes, but on top of that, I'm giving out life advice. Plus, we'll be talking to even more exciting people, like today's special guest, Randall Park.
Also, we're weekly now, with new episodes coming every Monday. So, JB, that means when you go into your intro, you know the whole new day, new you thing, you got to change the name of the show.
Oh, yeah. You're right, Miles. So let me do this. Here we go. New day, new you. Wake your ass up. Only strong. Positive vibes. Fucking gratitude. Be mindful. You're listening to May I Elaborate? Sound wisdom from me, J.B. Smooth. Sometimes you got to start, you know, your day or your life a certain way. Sometimes I like to start talking to myself. Sometimes you say, look, if you don't get the fuck out of my face sometimes.
Wait a minute. Well, JB, if you don't get the fuck out of my face, you say that to yourself.
Sometimes, metaphorically speaking, my amazing guest, Randall, sometimes you got to dive in sometimes with yourself and have a combo with yourself. See, right now, as we are sitting here on this amazing podcast called May I Elaborate? Sound wisdom from JB Smooth and Miles right there.
Thank you.
A lot of people right now, Randall, are walking around with a lot of damn anger built in. They say pent up anger. That shit pent the fuck up. I don't know where that came from, but people say it's pent up anger. Now, people don't gotta tell me that. I can see it. People carry around their anger like a fucking knapsack on their damn back, weighing them down. The knapsack is filled with all kind of stupid shit, like random shit, like one dumbbell, a carton of milk, you know, stupid shit like that, you know. And it's just weighing them down.
Yeah, but you're saying metaphorically, but the dumbbell and the milk is anger.
Miles, it's people walking around right now with a fucking dumbbell and a gallon of milk in their fucking backpack for no fucking reason.
Oh, literally.
Yeah. Randall,
sometimes literally.
A warning, his metaphors, they sometimes just go astray. So, you know, just ride with it. And
okay.
They just have so much anger that they're hunched over. They're fighting with the weight and the weight of their own body. They're pulling forward, trying to hold that shit up. Do you know how unsightly that is, Randall? And Miles, too? See somebody lugging some bullshit around that stupid-ass knapsack.
They're just tight. Their bodies are tight.
Their bodies are tight, and it's coming out from their mental into their physical. Now it has overtaken their physical form. Mm-hmm. You know, how do you think the hunchback of Notre Dame, his back got like that? You know why?
A dumbbell.
Dumbbell.
Genetics and heredity.
It's not heredity, Miles. In his back, that hump, number one, is full of juice. In that back is juice, number one. And because of his posture, he has forced that juice into that hump. So if he was to put a straw in the hump, he like it's like one of those
He's the original Kool-Aid
like a fucking juice box. You know what a juice box is? You put a little
like a Capri Sun, Capri Sun.
In his back is Capri Sun juice in that hump.
Okay,
like a tropical punch.
Fuck yeah, dude! You put a straw in that bitch, and you can suck the juice out the shit. And then while you're sucking the juice up, that motherfucker just stands straight up like a regular motherfucker.
Seems like it would be pus flavored though.
Miles, Miles, how dare you say that about the Hunchback of Notre Dame? Like he will be filled with filthy pus.
I'm just saying.
So you're saying it's delicious juice?
Oh man, the kids love him. They gather around him. You would think the kids would be afraid of him, but they're not afraid of him. They gather around and they all have their straws. Some, and they say some.
20, what nation 30 is
kids.
That?
Some, and they all had their straws.
They need an educational system, wherever that is.
No, only fucked the part about it. It's only one hole. So you gotta take turns. There's like 1,000 holes in this motherfucker.
So are you saying that anger can be delicious?
Fuck yeah.
At times?
If you know how to manage your anger and know how to control it. Hunchback at one point didn't know how to control it. He didn't know how to control it. And that juice built up in that hump.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the only way to relieve it was to let kids suck it out of them.
Kids, they all gather around. They all gather around with straws in their hand. And they say, dude,
and then
dude,
the village
sam, sam,
went
sam,
after
sam,
them.
Sam, 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 sam. And depending on what country they're in, they have accents, you know? Sam, 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 sam.
And voice synthesizers.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, here's something to think about. Suppose you're one of your friends with a newborn's house, you know? Mm. They invite you into that damn, you know, impressionable newborn's nursery.
Oh, that's
lovely. And you lean over that kid's crib with your fucking anger-filled hump.
Mm.
Do you understand the impression your fucking hunch over hump is going to have on that baby? That baby can't unsee your creepy ass hunched over that damn crib. It affects that baby. A child is a sponge. And just know, all that damn psychological damage was caused because your ass has some anger that you're holding on to. You scared to shout at that kid because you got built up, pent up shit, pent up hump in your back.
So you're bringing anger around a baby is what you're saying.
A baby's a sponge. You think a baby's dumb because the baby don't fucking know language, hasn't been to school yet. But children and little babies, they are sponges.
They know.
You ever heard a little baby say, fuck you? Fuck out my face? Feed me, bitch? You ever heard a baby say that?
Mm-mm.
Yeah. It's built into their body already. It's just that when you learn and send them to
Bruce
school.
Bruce Willis was doing the voice at the time. But other than that, I don't think I...
But you know, if a baby is a sponge, I mean that baby could soak up some of that tasty juice.
Juice,
you know?
Yeah. There you go.
I recommend people all the time. Here's what I recommend people do: when you spill something on a counter, you grab that baby and you use that baby to wipe it up.
No, no, Randall,
the baby's
no
a sponge.
Randall, no. Don't legally attach yourself to anything that could be damaging to your wonderful career.
I mean, but maybe metaphorically, right? You're talking, I think JB's talking literally.
Miles,
I don't know. You just don't want to get caught up in that.
Randall gets the shit. Metaphorically speaking, you grab that baby in the physical form just to show what that baby is absorbing, that juice, that cramp. Now, I wouldn't recommend using the baby to wipe up cranberry juice because cranberry stings.
Yeah, it stains.
But
yeah.
anything clear. Waters, the milk is not bad because babies love milk already. Use that baby to wipe it up. Just wipe it up. Yeah. And allow that baby to absorb. Now, you got kids. You understand what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I do. I do. They make great cleaning tools.
I tried to help you, Randall.
You don't want that baby to absorb the wrong things. Now most of the people know how to forgive. But most of you don't know how to forget out there. So when you don't forget, that hump is your fucking reminder. See, that is what the hump in your back is, whether it's physical or whether it's a mental hump.
It's the baggage, like the knapsack that you're carrying with you, right? That anger is just
right
weighing you down, scaring babies. So what do you do? How do you forgive, JB?
Miles, a lot of people out there, it's hard because a lot of people just don't have the ability to forget the bullshit, you know? Mm. Most of you are like the mighty, unforgiving fucking elephant. Now, elephant don't forget shit. They don't forget a motherfucking thing. You do an elephant wrong, he remembers your ass. Yeah, I remember you.
And look how big an elephant is, right? I mean, that's all anger. Yeah. Just pent up, right?
Yeah. Where do you think the term, that's big of you, came from?
Mm.
When someone says, oh, that's big of you.
Mm.
The big ass fucking elephant.
It's
that's
a long
where it
road
came from. He's so
there,
fucking massive. That's big.
The elephant is a hump. It's just one big hump.
Yeah. No, that's a camel. Now, camel got some built up bullshit. Now,
two humps.
Have you ever seen a stress free fucking camel with no hump? This motherfucker ain't got nothing.
So it's called a horse.
Yeah, that's a horse. Possibly.
Yeah. Basically, a fucking camel is nothing but a stressed out.
A llama.
Fucking
stressed out horse.
It's a stressed out horse. That's all a fucking camel is.
And an elephant is a stressed out mouse, probably.
Right.
Right?
You probably look at an elephant's high school photo, they're probably slim.
Yeah.
And then their 50s, they're heavy and losing their hair.
Yeah. And a camel's facial expressions show he is not about the bullshit no more. You ever see a camel's face? His face is more like, yeah, he's more like, a camel doesn't believe shit you say. His face is always like, come on, man, that shit didn't happen. He got that fucking lip and that fucking not fucking face.
Yeah.
Tell us more about that. You were going on about an elephant. Seems to be a good metaphor.
Have you ever seen the story about the elephant who was separated from his friend for 20 years, but when he saw him after all that time, he recognized him right away. Like this motherfucker owed him money.
Like a YouTube video, right? TikTok.
Yeah. The man was a veterinarian, and he went into the jungle to help out a damn herd of elephants, and that's where he met Peanut the elephant. That goddamn veterinarian lived 6 months with Peanut, and they were together 24 hours a day, 7 days a goddamn week, man. That's fucking real right there.
Yeah.
And then one day, the veterinarian got a call from home. His mother was sick, and he needed to go see his mom right away. Now eventually, his mother got better, and he planned to go back, but life got in the fuck. Sometimes life gets in the way, Randall. Life just fucking gets in the way. Know what life gets in the way? Here's how life gets in the way. You ever been walking towards somebody, and you're both trying to get somewhere, and you're both going back and fucking forth, and you can't get by this motherfucker, he can't get by you, and you're sitting there for fucking 3 fucking minutes trying to figure out who the fuck go first? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That's how life is. Life gets in your fucking way. And at some point, you got to tell life, get the fuck out the way.
Right.
He's doing that shit. He was doing that shit back and forth for fucking 6 motherfucking months. See? He'd already seen his mama the first fucking weekend. But the motherfucker was, somebody was in front of him. He couldn't get by them. And it took him 6 months to get the fuck back to the elephant. Get the fuck out of here, my way. I want to go see my fucking elephant friend.
So it was literally, he was trying to walk past the stranger and they kept moving to the side to let the other go. But then they kept moving, they were conjoined in their movements, and then that was for 6 months.
A waste of fucking 5.5 fucking months fucking around with this motherfucker in front of me. Get the fuck out the way.
Right. Okay. Woo! Randall, I told you about his metaphors, but if you want to get trapped in them, I don't know.
That's what see, Randall, that's what life is. Life gets in your way.
Right.
Yes, the person in front of you was life in your fucking way.
All right. So the guy, life, but then he gets back to the elephant, right?
Yeah. He made it back to that motherfucker. He went back to where Peanut lived at. Like Peanut's hood. There's other elephants there and shit. They go all kicking in and shit. Some motherfuckers got jobs. Some of them don't got jobs. They just fucking standing around the fucking hood and shit. The fucking neighborhood and shit, sitting around and shit, doing regular shit. You know, some of them are just, looking for work or whatever. Circus work or whatever. Sometimes circus work don't come right away. It's very far and few. There ain't that many circuses out there. Shit. Mm. So there was the fucking veterinarian standing face to face with Peanut. Now, at first it was awkward as Peanut looked at him. It's kind of like, Peanut grabbed his trunk and he rubbed his chin like that. He said, Then he scratched his fucking head. And he said, look, just like, man, where I know this motherfucker from? You know? That's what Peanut did.
Yeah. Physically, the trunk would have to go up underneath to do that. I don't know. People couldn't see what you did, but what you did was you can't get to your chin with the trunk.
Yeah, I'm just saying. You can scratch your fucking cheek and shit.
Yeah. And I don't see an elephant when you're doing this. I just see a dude.
No. Okay. Okay, my arm is a fucking trunk. Okay.
Yeah, but where's his face? His mouth is up. Okay. All right, here we go with noises.
He does that right there. It's just like grab his chin. I said, man. He scratches.
Randall, you see what I'm saying.
See what you're saying. It's just because this would be coming from the nose area. So it would be a little bit awkward to scratch his chin. But it's fine.
You're right. That's on me. All right, JB, go back. So he's rubbing his chin.
You ever see an elephant pull his tail out of his ass? His wedgie?
I've never seen that.
No.
Okay. Anyway. At first it was awkward as Peanut looked at him. Eventually, it sunk in with Peanut, though. Peanut said, I know this motherfucker. I know this dude from somewhere, man. Peanut excitedly grabbed the veterinarian and lifted him with his trunk. And he turned the man upside down and shook his pockets because he knew that motherfucker owed him money. He knew it. Mm-hmm. But then he settled down. And then all the things he really meant to fucking Peanut came flooding back. And with that, Peanut began smashing the veterinarian against a fucking rock until that motherfucker was dead.
Oh.
Yeah, man. Took a weird turn and shit.
Yeah, that did. That
apparently,
did.
Peanut remembered that motherfucker and hated his ass. See that? See that? Yeah. Elephants never forget. And just like a spare tire, they carry their anger in their fucking trunk, man.
Oh.
Woo! That's what you know. Peanut ass is behind bars at a zoo, regretting his fucking actions. He regretted that shit.
Wait, Peanut was now in a jail of sorts.
Oh, yeah, at the zoo. It's an elephant jail. It's a jail just for fucking elephants, man.
But that's the zoo.
Well, that's jail for animals.
No, the zoo is not the same as the fucking elephant prison. It's a totally different place. You don't want to go there.
Okay.
So what I'm trying to tell you is this. If you ever hope to achieve inner joy, don't be like Peanut. Don't smash the fucking veterinarian against a fucking rock over and over again repeatedly. Experience true happiness, man. And keep from winding up behind bars like Peanut. Hmm. You know, don't just learn how to forgive. Learn how to fucking forget, Miles. Be an elephant with a bad memory.
Okay.
You didn't have to do that to that fucking veterinarian.
It was a cautionary tale.
Yeah.
That this went on a long time, though. I think the cautionary tale is don't let someone tell you this elephant story. Because it's going to go on a long time.
This elephant had pent up shit in him, Miles, that had to come out some way. It was bound to come out.
I would submit to our guests that the show must have already started, but it hasn't even started, and I think we should get it started. What do you say, JB?
I think an elephant also is a sponge, but they're very hard to pick up and wipe a table top with.
I'll take that as a yes. Hi, I'm Miles, and thanks for joining us for a new day of May I Elaborate, sound wisdom from JB Smooth. On each episode, we discuss a quote from a daily calendar to see if JB can squeeze even more wisdom and inspiration out of it. Now, normally you're just stuck listening to the two of our voices, but today we have a treat for you. Joining us today is a multi-talented actor, comedian, and writer. Since the moment our guest starred in the critically acclaimed Fresh Off the Boat, this man has been on a meteoric journey, working in and on an array of projects in TV and film, not to mention the fact that he is one of the few choice people who have one foot in the Marvel Universe and the other in the DC world. Please welcome one of The Rock's best friends and the LLC Theater Company's own, Randall Park.
Hey.
RP.
So good to be here. What's happening, guys?
Man.
As you see, nothing.
Shit, man. Yeah. We're just trying to fix people out there, man. We're trying to help people get back on track. It's a lot of people off track right now in this world. And this amazing podcast that we love to do so much, and we love to, it's not just for us. It's for people out there. You know who you are? Our amazing podcast listeners to May I Elaborate, sound wisdom from JB Spoon and Miles. And today, Randall.
Yeah.
So just to prep you, Randall, in a bit, we'll be deconstructing a proverb. But before we get to that, while doing this podcast, as JB mentioned, we've noticed that while some of our listeners seem to glean a lot of enlightenment from JB's unique take on complex quotes and proverbs, there seems to be a need for JB to offer his very special brand of advice on some of the personal day-to-day issues of our wonderful listeners. So, Randall, please help us as we now present some of our listeners' questions in our segment, Ask JB, and feel free to help us help them.
Of course.
Thank you.
Yeah.
All right. This one comes from at Tisgustin. That's a T-I-S-G-U-S-D-N at Tisgustin underscore 1107. How do you know you've lived your life to the fullest every day?
Mm. Wow. That's deep, man. How do we know? You know, the fucking universe determines that shit. Sometimes, guys, some answers to questions come from straightforward questions to those damn answers. Like, for instance, first of all, what time did you get up? See, that's a big, what time did you get up? Did you get up too fucking late?
Yeah.
Did life already pass your ass by?
Mm.
Mm-hmm. And what time did you go to fucking sleep? You stay up fucking late binge watching some stupid shit that by the time you saw the last episode, you're like, fuck me. I just wasted a portion of my life on this stupid ass goddamn series binge watching this shit.
It's 3 a.m, you got to get up at 6.
And you fucking around with this stupid ass show.
Mm-hmm.
And what do you do in between those two times? Do you get up and get a snack and shit? Do you keep getting fucking up, get the same cookies over and over again?
When
you
could have just prostate grabbed, issues.
You keep getting one cookie at a time, thinking you ain't going to eat all of them, but end up getting up 10 times. You ate a whole pack of cookies, but you got up 10 times and go get a cookie at a time.
Yeah.
Bring the whole pack in there and eat the shit. Stop fucking around.
Be honest. Just be honest.
Be honest with the cookies. The cookie's good. Don't keep getting up 10 times for the same goddamn one cookie.
That's not living life to the fullest.
No.
No, Randall. Yep. You are wasting your time and your life right there. You can't get that time back. You don't get rollover minutes.
Mm.
And who the fuck are you going to sleep with? It was somebody snoring that kept your ass up. See, life gets in the fucking way sometimes.
Was it someone you had to pay?
See?
Yeah.
And nothing worse than a snoring ass prostitute. That's the fucking worst right there. Get up. Get the fuck out. That's enough. Enough. Get up.
Yeah, I didn't pay for this.
Yeah, you didn't pay for this shit.
Randall, it's not your obligation to help our listeners, but do you have anything?
I mean, you know, I think... I almost forgot the question because JB, you know, JB just illuminates so much more than just the question.
Well, how do you know you've lived your life to the fullest every day?
Yes. Well, you know, I think that is a that's a tough one. I think the answer to that question is found in retrospect. I don't think you really like can say I've lived my life to the fullest today. I mean, it's a life. You know, you got to have some years, some decades before you look back and said, oh, I lived my life to the fullest. But I do think at the end of a day, you could ask yourself, did I have a good day? Did I achieve my goals? Did I spread positivity and joy and do those things? And if you did, then I'll bet you, I don't know, decades from now, you could look back and be like, hey, I lived my life to the fullest.
But what if you're laying in bed and you go, boy, that I wasted that day. Does that eat at you that night? Does this make you want to jump at it the next day, or do you just let it go and go? But that's what today was.
I think that's it. I think you know. I think we weren't meant to every day change the world, right? We need to relax and rest and also make mistakes and maybe get up 10 times to get that cookie on a given night and then not do it again later, you know.
Yeah. Good thing about it was there was only 10 cookies in that pack. See? Sometimes life stops you sometimes at 10.
Yeah. That's right. That's right.
There you go.
That's very, very zen.
You gotta forgive yourself. You know, you gotta be forgiving.
Wonder if Gandhi could do that though. Wonder if Gandhi is like, oh, I don't have to change the world every day. I can eat a sleeve of cookies.
I'm like people
who set high standards for themselves. I wonder if it drives them crazy.
I think of Gandhi being a Fig Newton guy too.
Fig Newton. Yeah.
Yeah. I think like an apple or something. Like I can't see him eating packaged foods.
But get up 10 times, eat 10 apples. God damn it, Gandhi.
That's a lot of apples.
That's a fucking apple.
That's a lot of apples.
That's a bushel.
Is that a bushel?
Miles, how many in a bushel? Is that a bushel of apples?
I don't know.
It's probably a bushel.
Yeah, he probably on a given night would eat a bushel of apples. I mean,
he had a bushel of fucking apples.
Yeah,
he got up 10 times with that fucking robe on and shit.
And as Miles pointed out, he was probably very regular. I mean, if you look back, that's living life to the fullest.
Yeah, and his goddamn robe is see through. What the fuck is happening? What's going on here?
Oh, I didn't know. I don't know about that.
Thin-ass silky goddamn robe.
Wasn't see-through, though. He wasn't trying. What was he doing that for?
Look at all the photos. Every photo. You see everything.
I've never seen Gandhi's privates ever.
Look at it.
Well, we can Google it. I'm sure there's a website to that.
Every photo.
All right. So I hope that helped. I forgot your name already, listener. One more question. This one is from BeanaGram21. This one is a more practical one.
Oh, good.
Yeah, here we go. How do I get my apartment neighbors to stop stealing my Amazon stuff at my door? That's terrible, BeanaGram21.
Oh. Yeah, that's terrible. That's terrible.
No, obviously, the first thought is to go over there and give it to your neighbor and say, man, you know, and put a stop to that shit. But I get that confrontation. It's not for everyone. Everyone's not good with confrontation.
No, it's awkward. It's uncomfortable. And they could be huge, too.
Right. And they keep them fucking denying the shit. And you're trying to lean over, look through the crack in the door. You see all your shit in there.
Mm.
In that case, my next suggestion requires a little time and money. First, start ordering bullshit you don't need. Like anal bleach. Extra strength, halitosis breath spray, or adult Hello Kitty diapers and shit like that. Or order shit like that and then have it sent to your house with your neighbor's name on it. See? That way, you're letting them know that you know they're stealing your shit. But it doesn't bother you. It doesn't bother you. What does bother you is the shit coming out of their mouth and their ass. See? You're letting them know they have an issue with their breath and their asshole. See?
Oh, yeah. So you send in a message while sending a message.
Fuck yeah. Or if you got the time and money, here's what you fucking do. You get your delivery, right? And order something big. Take all the shit out the box and you get in the motherfucking box, right? Have somebody reseal that bitch and leave you on your own porch and then have them steal you. Open up the shit when they get to the house and say, aha, motherfucker. See?
That's...
aha!
That could be uncomfortable, though. What if it sits there all day and you're in that box and then, and maybe the neighbor didn't even come till the next day to steal. Okay. Then you got to sit in the box for a whole night.
You pass out and then they return you. Like, they go, I don't even want this box. Now they've returned you and you're in transit.
I didn't think about
transit.
That, Miles.
Yeah.
I didn't think about that. Damn it, I didn't think about that one. Shit.
Oh. And your other suggestion seems like would throw off your algorithm really bad. Like, you just start getting a lot of...
That's true. Yeah, you know, I think maybe just go to the neighbor's door, knock on the door, and I think, you know, I know people are not good with confrontation, but I mean, confrontation is inevitable if you're doing either one of those, right? It's like one of your suggestions. So why not just, you know, cut to it?
You go up there to your neighbor and you don't say what the specific issue is, but they fucking know the issue already. And you just stand there with your arms open like, come on, man, really? Get a life.
Yeah.
Get a life and walk away. Plant that seed and walk. They know what the fuck they did. They'll stop doing it. Because they know, now they know you know that they know you know.
Yes. Or if you want to really mess with their heads, go over there with a gift, you know, like bake them a pie. Wow. And be like, hey, hey, just wanted to give you this pie. I just want to say, no hard feelings. I know you stole stuff. I come in good faith and with positivity. But if you steal something again, you're going to pay. You're going to pay.
You're going to fucking pay. Or do this sometimes. This right here, you combat the bullshit with more bullshit. So you order two of something. And you say, order two of these motherfuckers. This one's for you. That way, you got one, and they got one of the same shit. See?
That'll mess them up.
Yeah. They don't know what to fucking do with the kindness.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I think you both gave some decent... I mean, it's tough if you have a bad neighbor. It's just the horrible luck of the draw if you could have a wonderful home and a lousy neighbor. Yeah. The pie seems like a great idea if you could get into a time machine and go back to 1956. but other than that, I think.
But that'll mess them up even more.
Oh, well, listen.
That'll mess them up.
You're in the Marvel and DC universe, so anything's possible.
And if you show up kind of dressed old-timey, that'll really mess them up.
Say there, neighbor. I just wanted to say welcome to the block. Here's a pie.
Yeah. I love that. Love a good ass pie, too. Shit.
All right. Well, there you go, listeners. I hope your lives are better. And now on to our quote. Today's quote comes from the calendar, A Network for Grateful Living, A Year of Gratitude, Inspiration for Living Life as a Gift. Mm-hmm. You guys ready for the quote?
Miles, we've been ready. Let's go. We born ready. The question is, Miles, are you ready out there in podcast world? Fuck us. We good. What about you? This for you.
No way for us to hear that. So I'll just read the quote. None of us is just one thing. Life is a process of learning to recognize many faces. And that's by Sayatani Dasgupta.
Now, a lot of times, Randall, I will reread it in my own cadence, in my own voice, that way I can absorb it more. And you can feel free to do it too.
Like a sponge, yeah.
Fuck yeah, dude. None of us is just one thing. Life is a process of learning to recognize many faces. Ooh. Mm. Wow. Candid.
Mm-hmm.
And feel free to read it out loud if you want to grab it. None of us is just one thing.
None of us is just one thing.
Life is a process of learning. To recognize many faces.
Ooh. Okay.
Powerful. That was good. So wonderful call and response. You guys work on that. We'll take a break and then we'll come back and knock this thing out.
I love it.
Welcome back to May I Elaborate? Sound wisdom from JB's Move. The quote we're looking at today is, none of us is just one thing. Life is a process of learning to recognize many faces, and we are joined today by the lovely Randall Park.
Yes, indeed.
Thank you. Thank you. That's a good quote. That's a very good quote.
Great quote, man.
So what do you got, JB? Kick it off, and Randall, please jump in when you feel like it.
Now, when I personally read this quote, I can't help but think about the expression KISS. Keep it simple, stupid. Now, see, someone made that up as advice for people who stress themselves the fuck out by making shit too complicated.
Mm.
Now, in general, I would say keep it simple, stupid. It is good ass advice. But Randall, we both know that life is complicated.
Mm.
And sometimes the best way to get somewhere isn't necessarily the shortest way. Sometimes to be a chef, you got to be a dishwasher or a waiter or a damn busboy first.
Yeah, you can't just, oh, you could. You could skip ahead and go to culinary school and just be a chef. Or you could just call yourself a chef. But the best way is to go through steps.
And these ain't bad steps here. The dishwasher, the waiter, or a busboy. But you don't want to be the motherfucker working in the bathroom and then you become a chef the next fucking week. Get your nasty ass the fuck out the kitchen.
Mm.
See, that's not the right. That's the wrong route, Miles. You can't be in the bathroom handing tissues to people in the filthy restroom attendant, and then jump to a chef, Miles.
Well, if you went to school for it, the way you envision it, it's like he's just coming out of the bathroom.
He hasn't showered or bathed or anything.
He's been holding guys' Johnsons at the urinal.
Well, that's not a job.
No. Well, it's a job.
I mean, yeah, it's a job.
Good honest work if you can get it. Don't knock the
guy. Yeah, you're right. You're right. Thanks for correcting me, Miles.
Oh, no problem.
I'm just throwing it out there, man. There's not knocking the guy that works in the bathroom, but goddamn, you can't jump from that to that. You need something in between. You need a buffer in between somewhere.
Well, holding a Johnson and holding a pan, it's like, you know, there's delicacy with the Johnson, and then you got to grip that pan.
There's some
and, or you grip the Johnsons. I don't know. You know what? I dug myself.
Way to lean into it, man. You just went from 0 to 60 on the Johnson.
Sorry.
No.
But sorry.
There are foods that look like a Johnson. I can't go from that to making a sausages.
Okay, here we go.
You can't do that. That don't make no sense, Miles.
No, I know.
Kielbasa's and what's other sausages? Kielbasa's and shit like that, Miles.
I don't actually want to do this.
Brockwurst and shit like that.
Yeah.
Okay. You hold a Brock or a kielbasa in your hand, that shit look the same, Miles. From a distance.
All right.
Yeah.
You walking in, what the fuck are you doing in the kitchen?
I don't know. What was the quote again?
Thank you. All right. So none of us is just one thing. Life is a process of learning to recognize many faces, not types of sausage. Can we continue?
I say this. I see what just happened just now.
Yeah.
Shit went awry a little bit.
It did.
For example, to build the perfect monster, you need the best parts from a lot of different sources. That's where Dr. Frankenstein fucked up, Miles and Randall. I mean, he had the right idea, but most definitely didn't get the right fucking parts, Miles. That's what I say. Why the fuck would you create a being and then get that motherfucker a flat head and some bolts sticking out of his goddamn neck? He started running out of fucking parts, Miles. He had bolts on his goddamn neck and a flat top.
Yeah, why did it have a flat head?
Why did it have a flat head? Who head is this?
Yeah.
Who head is flat like this, Miles?
Mm.
If you're digging through a cemetery and you're trying to build a being and you open up a coffin and there's a dude with a flat head, you go, yeah, I'll grab that. You might as well hold out, right, and get a better shaped head.
Hold out, get a better shaped head. It got to be another head out there better than this fucking.
I don't think he was concerned with aesthetics so much, though. Maybe I mean, it's what I'm thinking is maybe it was more just, you know, the head fit the body, so
right.
It fit the neck. The head
fit the neck.
Fucking neck hole. Yeah. And he just said, fuck it, they fit the neck hole.
Fit, right.
I'm having a hard time finding a fucking neck to fit this fucking neck hole, this existing neck hole.
Yeah, this flat head fit the neck hole. So, screw it, you know.
Well, thank you for correcting me, Randall.
Yeah, you're welcome.
But still, Frankenstein is still a good example of how none of us is just one thing. That motherfucker was a fucking hodgepodge of shit. Just imagine what that motherfucker's genitals must have looked like. two fucking mismatched balls and shit. A fucking eight ball and a fucking 14 ball and shit. See? Okay. Or a fucking eight ball and a golf ball or some shit like that. Okay. Or a gumball. Hot fireball. Remember hot fireball? Woo! Remember the motherfucking like hot fireballs?
The candy,
I remember when I was younger. Two of my friends were having an argument, and one of them had a hot fireball in his mouth, and the other one was talking major shit from across the room, and my other friend took the fireball out of his mouth and said, shut the fuck up, and threw it randomly, right? And the shit went up right in my other friend's mouth, man. You talk about, some fucking disrespectful shit.
Well,
and his aim was impeccable. I said, God damn, how the fuck you throw a hot fireball out your mouth and throw it in another motherfucker's mouth?
Yeah. I don't think the quote is about balls personally. No. I think it's probably more about just recognizing the complexities of humans, you know, of other humans, and maybe having some empathy because of that, you know, because we're all there's many sides to us, many experiences and interests and opinions, and you know, and you know, we aren't just the one thing that you may know about us. Maybe balls do play into that, you know, to a degree, because we don't know necessarily, and they could have mismatched balls, and that could be, you know, something that we don't know about.
Yeah.
But, you know, once we do, you know, just come to it with empathy, you know.
I got to thank you for classing up the joint with that. Thank you. JB, can you see that level that Randall just elevated the show to? Can we continue from there?
You are ticking. I'm grounded right now, and you are loosening the bolts in my groundness, Miles, right now.
All right. So what else do you got? Come on with something else so we can finish this thing up and get this gentleman out of here.
Now, how about this? Think about a baby. Babies have baby faces. Oh, man. Know what a baby face is, Randall. You know what that is, Miles? And Randall, a baby's face, what actually is a baby's face? A baby face is sweet and fucking innocent. And a baby shows everything they're thinking on their face. If they're happy, you see it. If they're sad, you see it. If they're confused, you see it. If they're pensive, you see it. If they're shitting, you see it. Visually, you see them shitting in their face.
Mm-hmm. Right. Babies are pure.
They're pure. They
can't hide their emotions.
Baby can't hide shit.
Okay.
That's why you never see a baby playing poker. Because that sweet little baby face motherfucker would never be able to bluff. Babies are terrible bluffers. No, we're all.
But also the coordination hasn't, you know, like I don't think a baby could even sit up at a table.
You really, ever see baby
hands
Finster?
Are too small to hold.
You ever see baby Finster?
Yeah.
You ever see a cartoon with baby Finster? That's not true. That's not true, Randall.
He was baby Finster. Baby Finster was a grown gangster pretending to be a baby. He just was short, so that's not a baby.
But it is a baby. Yeah. It's a baby. Someone birthed.
Randall, that's from the old Bugs Bunny cartoon.
Yeah.
Somebody, that baby with that razor stubble came out of somebody.
All right. But let's get back to your baby. So the baby, we get it. The baby's face is pure and wonderful and without.
Now, I know you're going at Miles and Randall.
I know where you're going at, I think.
Now, we were all babies at one point, and we each had our own damn no bluff baby face. But we quickly realized that there was no way we could live our lives like that. I mean, how the fuck would we be able to walk into work on a Tuesday after calling out with a big-ass lie on Monday? We can't bluff our way out of that shit. We know you lying. You were bullshitting around on Monday. That's why we spend our lives cultivating our mask. We craft a mask that makes us look tough when we need it and to look caring when we need it. We also make complex-ass, multifaceted masks for ourselves. Like Jason from Friday the 13th. And when you see that motherfucker, you think he's a hockey goalie. But then as you try to talk to him, you realize that mask is just a cover-up for someone who is painfully shy and unable to make friends. And then you're lucky enough to keep your fucking distance from his ass for a while. You realize he is actually a violent-ass serial fucking killer.
The many faces of Jason Voorhees.
Many fucking faces of fucking Jason, Miles. That motherfucker's hiding behind that goddamn mask.
Okay.
He's hiding, not just his fucking face. He's also hiding He can't bluff with his real face. But behind that mask, this motherfucker's bluffing. We don't know if he's smiling, if he's fucking scheming on how the fuck he gonna kill your ass.
Or if he's thinking
about the next movie. The motherfucker's probably complex. Like, are we gonna do another one? Yeah. Are we gonna do another one of these fucking movies? We don't know what's behind that mask.
Contract negotiations. It's like, what's Freddy Krueger getting? I'm underpaid.
Yeah, he's comparing what the fuck the market is right now for fucking killers like myself.
He might have
a little cool little stash too, Miles. We don't know.
Well, he's hiding it, and it's a waste if he's going to wear that mask. Hey, let's wrap this thing up. Here's a quote one more time, JB. Anyway, here's a quote one last time. Let's wrap this up. None of us is just one thing. Life is a process of learning to recognize many faces. JB, how do you end this and end it quickly?
See, we call this giving people something to take home. This is like the doggy bag of life.
Little to-go bag.
Little to-go bag and shit. See what happened there? At the end of the day, if you're patient and open-minded, you will recognize the many faces of Jason or the many facets of Frankenstein, this flathead motherfucker. That chef that started out as a dishwasher or started out in that fucking bathroom as a bathroom attendant.
Or Johnson Holder.
Johnson Holder. And as a dishwasher in one of the finest restaurants. After years of washing fine food off of the dishes, he decided he wanted to become the one who puts the fucking fine food on the dishes.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, see, that's powerful, man. Or the good friend who turns out to be your soulmate. This motherfucker been your friend forever. All of a sudden, now he's a goddamn soulmate. Sniffing around your ass for years, always being there for you, giving you advice. And one day you catch them in a certain light coming out of a fucking swimming pool, and boom, you recognize your fucking soulmate. That's where soulmates come from. Or even you. You were the person who went to school to be a dental hygienist, but dropped out because of a great opportunity to buy someone's vending machine route, which you eventually traded straight up for your first 7 roller rinks. See that?
Well, I got lost there, but let's keep going.
Yeah, that's the best thing. You got other things to do today, right, Randall?
Yeah, I do.
Let him keep going.
Now, you see that? Because you recognized your many faces. And you realize that you are not just one thing. You are the sum of your fucking parts. And just know you have many parts. You are not simple. You are complex. KISS, KISS. Doesn't just stand for keep it simple, stupid. It was also the name of an amazing fucking rock group where each member technically wore a fucking mask and spit fucking blood everywhere out of their fucking mouth. Remember that shit, Miles? Randall? Blood.
Yeah.
Fucking blood out of their goddamn mouth. Amazing. They weren't just musicians. And this one little small thing. People think they had little blood packets in their mouth, but these motherfuckers' teeth were actually bad and they would spit real blood.
Gum disease.
Gum to fucking disease. Gum disease.
Gingivitis.
Gum disease.
Terrible.
Every last one of them have gum disease.
A lot of rock stars have that.
They don't take care of their fucking teeth, Randall. They don't.
They smoke a lot of things. Eat a lot of candy and stuff.
Those dressing rooms backstage are filled with candy.
Just filled with Tootsie Rolls.
I mean, it's always on a rider.
Always on a rider. So anyway. These guys weren't just musicians. They were also a star child, a demon, a spaceman, and a fucking cat.
That one a cat? I never got that.
Hey, come on, man. Everybody loves kitty cats, man.
Oh, yeah. The cat one. I forgot about him. Yeah.
Shit. You'll see the show when they put the fucking the litter box on stage? Oh, fucking amazing.
I never saw that.
No.
I don't think they did that.
That's kind of like when people are yelling them come back out again onto stage after the grand finale, they come back out. Shit, then they fucking
slide
the
litter box.
Believe themselves. They've been on stage for 3 fucking hours. So anyway, learn to recognize your complexity. Everybody out there, learn to recognize your inner KISS and spend your life making the most unique music ever.
Okay. That
was good.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was good. It kind of went back to what I said in a lot more concise way, which was, just recognizing the complexity of other people, you know?
Yes.
Yeah.
Ram, you get it, man. You fucking get it. You also get that fucking litter box full of human shit. You know?
That I don't get, as much. Yeah, but I get it. I guess
you know what it is.
Kind of.
The show's over. They fucking slide that motherfucker out there.
Right. Yeah. And explain, you said you saw that before, JB?
Every show ended with the fucking litter box.
Tell Randall a little bit more about the time you saw it. Thanks for joining us for another episode of May Elaborate Sound Wisdom from JB Smooth. I want to give a special thanks to Work From Publishing for letting us borrow from the calendar, a network for grateful living, a year of gratitude, inspiration for living life as a gift. I want to give an even specialer thanks, though, to the one and only Randall Park. As always, we hope you had a good time and maybe we even inspired along the way. Before you go, please leave us a comment along with a great review and rating on Apple Podcasts. And also, please leave your favorite quotes and your questions for Ask JB as well, or you can send them to us at mayielaborate@gmail.com. We will definitely be looking at those and featuring some of them on the show. Also, be on the lookout for some special celebrity guests of JB's, special celebrity guest friends. I left out the word friends, and they certainly are. You just heard one. Clearly, you can hear those episodes are always a lot of fun. And tell a friend about our podcast, why don't you? Don't be stingy and keep it all to yourself. Once again, I'm Miles, and he's JB, and he's Randall Parr. See you next time.
I don't remember any of that.
Yeah, it didn't happen. Didn't happen.
Okay. I'll look up. I'll check on YouTube.
Don't do that.
Okay. This has been a Team Coco production.